Good evening. The show begins tonight, looking at the American economy with Liz Peek. Observation includes energy. The U.S. is now producing more oil than it did before the epidemic, the pandemic. Therefore, we've achieved everything in terms of fueling not only the United States but the world. The liquefied natural gas flowing to Europe is critical to replace what was lost in the Ukraine war. I learned from Liz Peek that the Green New Deal agenda of several years past, if it's there, it's not evident. It is significant to see John Kerry, the climate czar, step aside from his job in order to campaign for President Biden's reelection. At the same time, what has become of the green initiative of these last years? We're pumping the oil to keep the price of gasoline down, to avoid the inflation spiral and also the electioneering spiral of earlier in the first term of President Biden. The liquefied natural gas requires terminals to transfer it to shipping to send to Europe. And there is one liquefied natural gas terminal that is proposed in Louisiana that is awaiting approval by the Biden administration. As Liz Peek says very carefully, the administration seems to be in a dilemma. It is of two minds, yes and no, about energy. Energy drives the economy. The economy is what people vote on. And from the economy, I moved to London, where Joe Sternberg has written of the farmers' protest in Germany, having again to do with green. The limits of the budgeting process in Germany require them not to exceed a certain percentage of debt. Therefore, they must make cuts in other budget allocations, especially because they spent, I think it, the number was 60 billion euro on green. One of the places they cut was subsidies to farmers for crops and for diesel fuel. This led to a very strong protest from the farmers who drove their tractors and trucks to central Berlin, jammed up traffic, and jeered at the Free Democratic Party leader, Christian Lindner, who is also the Minister of Finance, making a speech to them about how the state is out of money to continue their subsidies. There was loud jeering. This protest by farmers is not limited to Germany. We see it in other European states. It's a small part of everybody's economy, but a very loud and vivid and romantic part of the economy. From the question of London, I also look at, with Joe Sternberg, at the post office scandal. Truly tragic and upsetting. Hundreds, perhaps thousands of sub-postmasters, those are people who have a shop selling magazines or have a way of having a store inside a small village, also had approval of the post office to sell stamps and take letters and drop them off. A sub-postmaster of a sub-post office. Well, they were accused over the last decades, many of them, hundreds if not thousands of them, were accused of thieving from the cash drawer. It turns out there is no reason to believe the thieving accusation because the post office was using bad software that gave bad data, the software from Fujitsu. I'm not certain who knew and when. There's a lot of avoiding right now. There's compensation due people who had their lives damaged by the accusation of being thieves. Some were persecuted. Some were jailed. There's more to learn about this. Hundreds and thousands, and especially they were elderly people running a shop or doing on the side of their pub. We'll see. It's called the post office scandal. Then it's off to Taiwan to talk about the success of the Taiwanese democracy, and how all of Oceania, all the sovereign states and the islands across the Indo-Pacific are watching Taiwan and watching the belligerence of the mainland toward Taiwan. There's long been the choice, are you endorsing Taipei, Taiwan, or are you endorsing Beijing, China? China's put pressure on everyone. Only a few have tumbled to it recently and changed their affiliation. Gregory Copley was in Fiji last week, and he's now in Perth, Australia, and he says the Fiji leadership is adamant that it will remain in supporter of Taipei, Taiwan, and that this Democratic vote endorses that decision-making. From there, Gregory speaks of Ethiopia, where the Prime Minister, Dr. Abiy, is now challenged by a group called the FANU, which is a coalition of militias who want Dr. Abiy to depart and want to move Ethiopia to an open system and not one of open civil war, but of open transparency and democracy. Ethiopia is profoundly troubled, but so is the Horn of Africa, because it's adjacent to the Red Sea. And I speak to Gregory about the Red Sea shootings of missiles, also about the attack by Iran directly on Kurdistan with missiles, claiming that they were destroying a headquarters of a Mossad outpost in Kurdistan near Erbil. No confirmation that it is a Mossad headquarters. That's what Iran says. So we'll wait subsequent news. And then a King Charles report with Gregory, always fun. There is a new official portrait of the king. It is now to be displayed in all of the official places, post offices, schools, across the country, replacing Queen Elizabeth's portrait that hung for many decades happily. There are a number of badges and medals and signatures on the king's blue navy coat, and Gregory guided me through some of them. I'm learning. I am not a member of the Commonwealth. I didn't grow up with the king as a monarch. I regret that the U.S. and the United Kingdom separated several centuries ago. And I'm learning what I can late in life about what was missed, what is missed in my education. Later on, I speak again about the Red Sea to Mary Kissel of the Executive Vice President Stevens Incorporated, but she was at State with Secretary of State Pompeo and traveled. We speak of Taiwan positively. We speak of the Red Sea and the alarm there. That's an economic war. They've raised the rates of shipping through the Red Sea, insurance rates, and that puts a burden on the supply chain, on Europe, on inflation. It is not a positive story, and it's getting worse. And we're now speaking of the third wave of counter-missiles by the U.S. Navy and the United Kingdom against the Houthis, but it looks very much like whack-a-mole. Jerry Hendricks joins also to talk about the operations in the Red Sea, telling me that he flew there when he was first flying off a carrier back in the late 20th century, so that the U.S. Navy is long experienced in the Red Sea, Suez, the Red Sea, the Bab el-Mandeb, into the Gulf of Aden, knows the obstacles, the sunken ships, the islands, knows it very well. And there's a carrier strike force there now, the Eisenhower, the Ike, with its two escort ship Arleigh Burke destroyers. Other ships have joined to subsequently guard the ships coming through the Red Sea. Another Greek flagship was hit today. The Houthis are not in any way subdued. There was the interdiction of resupply of Houthi missiles, warheads, and missile parts that was stopped by Navy SEALs. Two SEALs were lost in the operation, missing in action now, not officially considered KIA. This is an odd conflict, and it can get much worse. Finally, I address with Judy Dempsey, again, the farming crisis in Germany. But first, we speak of the EU, and pending the EU elections in May of this year. And the EU is not looking at Ukraine, not looking at the security threat to Europe. We speak of Switzerland offering the possibility of a peace summit. We speak of Davos and talks about Davos, but Russia says we weren't invited, the talks will go nowhere. We speak of the UN saying don't forget the Ukraine in your donations. The hard fact is that the Congress has not passed the allocation asked by the president, and therefore there is no more money to be had from the U.S. to support Kyiv. The EU also hesitates because it must be unanimous, and at the last meeting of Brussels it was not. So right now, Ukraine is running on the last of the money. At the same time, President Zelensky was, I believe he was in Switzerland, speaking of what Ukraine needs, which is air superiority, it seems detached from the facts that there's no money coming from the U.S. and there is no bright future for Ukraine right now. Finally, a conversation with Jeff Faust of Science News and David Livingston, that's his Hotel Mars, about low Earth orbit. And now the Chinese space program has accused Starlink of being both military, dual use, and using too much of the bandwidth of low Earth orbit, the radio communications waves, and also claiming that the Starlink can be used in suicide missions to crash other satellites. Quite fantastic, but there it is. So low Earth orbit is now a battlefield identified by the spacefaring nations and their friends. There's much more to the show. I hope you enjoy it. Thank you for listening.